Kia ora, ko Louis Collinsaho. Nga mai ki te whare. Welcome to the House. In 1868, the first ever Māori MPs were elected. 155 years later, New Zealand's 54th Parliament has 33 Māori MPs spread across all six parties. Given the fact Parliament uses the Westminster system, much of its historical foundations were rooted in colonialism. These days, it's a heck of a lot more diverse and representative of a very different New Zealand than the one that existed in 1868. But still, when you walk around the buildings, the Edwardian architecture doesn't really scream Kiwi per se. Likewise, it doesn't particularly reflect elements of Te Ao Māori. This week on The House, we chatted to three MPs about being Māori in Parliament. First up, Te Pāti Māori's Taku Teferis, who joined me out in the forecourt for a yarn.
These pau and pare and the Māori markers, they're all a symbol of the relationship between Crown and Māori, primarily mana whenua, but they're very new.
Mm.
We see Parliament, you know, it's very Western, it's very Westminster.
Yeah, 100%.
How does it feel being Māori and you know, your first time coming up to these buildings?
Yeah, how does that feel? It feels nothing to me. I'm not overawed or impressed by this house, its systems, or anything about it. But we're very aware and well-versed in the history. Gets us into the current socio-economic and political position that Tiwi Māori are in today. So we arrive here fully equipped with all of that. The constitutional foundation that sets this whole parliament up, allows this parliament to be here, is a two-party agreement. It's a two-party relationship.
When you walk around the building, you know, I think other than the bust of Ngāta on the tiles and the Te Kahu Māori, there's not really any symbols. I suppose it could be, you know, a cosmetic thing. It might not bother you, but yeah. There's not really any aesthetics or reminders of the Crown Māori relationship, is there?
No. I would describe this place as a shrine to colonialism.
Is there anywhere on the precinct that makes you feel uneasy or a little bit uncomfortable?
Nah, not at all. Not at all, because we understand it really well.
Have you had to compromise on any of your kaupapa coming into Parliament with the various weird procedures and that kind of thing that are a custom of Westminster system?
Nah. It's not a threat to who we are, because who we are is just carried within us, you know? Doesn't matter where you are, you can always maintain your cultural base.
And what sort of environment do you see, you know, if you had to dream it up, in Parliament being in 100 years for Māori, especially young Māori Arangatahi?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot quicker than 100 years, this place can be in the model that Whatarangi Whiniata and many others of Tiwi Māori proposed through the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, which is the two-house model, where, in effect, you have a house that represents the Crown, and the government is just the executive administrator of the Crown. You know, that's what it is. Now, they can have a house. Tiwi Māori can have a house, and if you ask me, every iwi who has settled and be acknowledged by the Crown as the partner, as the treaty partner, been actively acknowledged by active legislation as the treaty partner, they deserve a seat here. So you could have two houses, and then Whata's model was that Te Tiriti or Waitangi would be the central house that adjudicates all the things that pass through. That could be done very quickly.
And sorry to go back to the aesthetics thing, but yeah, no. What would it look like?
They can keep this one. And Tiwi Māori would build a whare that best represents Tiwi Māori today. And if you look around the country, there are all sorts of modern, brand new buildings being built that reflect iwi aspirations, modern, you know, Māori aspirations. Ngāi Tahu have done an outstanding job across Ōtautahi, Christchurch. So the Māori house would look a lot flasher just over there.
Yeah, that's heaps. Te Pāti Māori have been vocal in their opposition to the coalition government's policies. This has manifested as hostility in the House, protests, and a steady stream of news headlines. I was curious to hear from a Māori government MP about what it's like being on the other side of the House during all this. National MP for New Plymouth, David McLeod, was before politics a major player in Taranaki's business and governance worlds. I sat down with David where he reflected on his personal experience of being Māori in those spaces and how that compares to being Māori in Parliament.
We often have a conversation whether a person's Māori enough or not. I haven't concluded in my thought process whether that's actually appropriate. Because a person of Māori affiliation and Māori blood is not fluent in te reo, has not been brought up on the marae, has not, you know, been extensively involved, does that eliminate them from being able to be included in the conversation of things Māori. And I'm questioning what the answer is to that question, you know, what it is. And so, one of my reflections is far too often I see people playing the man rather than the ball. This place is about policy, regulations, you know, statutes, all that. That's, we're a legislative branch of the parliament here. And I think people feel strategically it makes sense to talk about the person that's talking rather than what they are speaking about. So a reflection is that we're at risk here in Parliament of losing a good decision-making process. So being a Māori MP, you know, you're speaking to me because I am part Māori. So perhaps in your mind and your listeners' minds is that they see me as a Māori MP. I can tell you for some people in this place, that's not the case. I think they look at you as a white Māori or whatever they want to label it. And I find that a little bit frustrating at times. And it comes from a number of parties. It's not just from one place. It comes from a number of parties where they pass judgment of who you are as a person and your ability to be able to contribute to policy that reflects on Māori. So, I think that's an area that potentially could be done better.
How different are the Māori business worlds, or being Māori in the business world versus the political world?
I think the social procurement element that's happening in New Zealand, particularly with the large Māori entities trying to support Māori businesses to be as successful as they can and grow that, is a great thing. I think, you know, when you're a business trying to be Māori, comes with its challenges.
Your position in the National Party, the government's come under a bit of criticism from Māori, not all Māori, of course, but there have been, you know, a sort of an unprecedented level of protests and opposition to the government's policies around Māori. How do you feel personally being Māori and being a member of the National Party or the government in general?
I think the National Party and the coalition government has just got a policy of treating everybody fairly and not by their race. But that does not forget the fact that Te Tiriti of Waitangi, the treaty, is a founding document of our country. And that's well and clearly understood. We just have a different philosophy of how that should be implemented for the good of all New Zealanders.
How do you compare being Māori in those two spaces? You know, you've been in the governance and small business space, and now you're in the political space. Has one been easier?
I thrived in business. You know, you're talking about the Māori being perhaps more applicable to starting up a new business. What you're talking about there is risk takers. Mm. And, New Zealand companies have this word limited at the end of it for a very clear reason, is that you're taking risk in giving it a go.
Do you sort of feel connected to other tangata whenua in Parliament or in your party?
Yeah, I think, with Tama being a minister, and he is very proactive around cultural elements of our party, the National Party. And in fact, we have weekly sessions, or on the sitting weeks, as a group, and it's not just for Māori MPs, it's for any MP, to come along and advance our cultural knowledge, and, you know, even down to learning waiata and basic kupu, you know, basic words and sayings and things like that. So it's not ignored by the National Party. I think it is understood and encouraged that we should be as good as we can be in that space.
The east coast of New Zealand's North Island is a place where te ao Māori is quite often just the norm. Demographically, it's the most Māori area of the country. MP for Ikoro Rafiti, Labour's Kushla Tangaeri Manuel, had a kororo with me where she talked about her approach to reconciling te ao Māori and Parliament.
You know, when I said my maiden speech and during my campaign, I based it on Apira Nangata's E Tipu Iria, which is about balancing the modern world and te ao Māori, so maintaining your values and traditions while also embracing the modern world. And that's exactly what it's like here in Parliament. The image in this building that makes me feel empowered and humbled and, you know, really reflect on the privilege it is to be here is the bust of Apira Nangata. It was when I first saw that I realised, Taipirana used to walk around here. But that's also because the imagery of this place is not reflective of te ao Māori. And we accept that, you know, the tikanga and that whare is not necessarily ours, though it is evolving. But that's why I made a point of, in my maiden speech, acknowledging the students who were here and welcoming them to their house. I think we have to use that language more and more. This is not this. Of course, it's a beautiful building, and having travelled to other parliaments really makes me appreciate the beauty of ours. And that's also why I actually get a real buzz of hosting students here. To normalise it, rangatahi, children, adults shouldn't feel intimidated to walk around here.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, it's a good point that, you know, it's, you don't just have to be Māori to recognise that this place is pretty weird.
Yeah.
Like, the mace on the table, what's
that
about, right?
I mean, adult Pākehā feel uncomfortable, you know, or feel in awe of the place. And I think the more we can do to make people recognise that we represent them, you know, we're here working for them, while maintaining the integrity of the house, of course.
So when you do see your rangatahi come through Parliament, like, where do you take them to show them that this is their house? You know, is it question time? Is it, like, the corridors? Some of the taonga? Like, what is it?
The recent school that I hosted was in Mātangiraia, and that was special because it was Ngata Memorial College. So it was special for me because that's my old college, and, of course, special because of Taipira Nangata. Some people, yeah, it's just a buzz for them to just stand in the house, but even just walking, like, across the tiles is a buzz. And one of the schools I hosted, it was funny, the teachers were like, is this where you fellas all walk on the news? Yeah, so it's nice for them to place themselves in the world and, you know, just see the reality of what they see on TV.
And what about being Wahine Māori?
I'm always interested when I'm asked that question because I come from a tribe, Ngāti Porou, where all but two of our marae are named for women. And, you know, we're renowned for Ngāti Porou mana wahine. So women in leadership is not something foreign to me. I come from quite a matriarchal family as well. So even in rugby, at the time I was appointed CEO, I was the only female CEO or chair in all of New Zealand rugby. I just come as Kushla. I come knowing that about my iwi, and I come knowing that about my whānau. And I think, particularly in rugby, because, you know, there was a lot of work around diversity and inclusion, women are here in any of their positions through merit, through their ability and capability. And I think that perception you've raised about, you know, all the midgery being Pākehā, it's not just Māori who find that foreign, as you've acknowledged. Most people go, oh my gosh, this is, you know, like, you're pointing it out, you know, it's noticeable. But what's also noticeable is the amount of Māori faces we see in the house. More and more increasing, I'm noticing more staff. Moko kauai are not out of place in this house anymore. I do see a lot of impressive people in the house now. It really impresses me because, you know, speech making is a big deal in Māori Dim and in my family. And so I'm quite impressed at how some people can just come up with a speech and talk for 10 minutes, you know, on the spur of the moment, because that was something that I was very conscious of because I don't want to waffle because, you know, my whānau will be like, what was that?
Or text me and
be like,
sit down.
So, but I'm relaxing into that and trusting, learning to trust, you know, my own abilities.
E te whakarongo koe ki te whare. You've been listening to The House, a program made with funding from Parliament's Office of the Clerk. Mā te wā.